This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's news, and we begin in Iran, exactly 31 years after the Islamic Revolution overthrew the Shah and brought the radical Islamic theocracy led at the time by Ayatollah Khomeini to power. Now, of course, that government led by the Ayatollahs is increasingly unstable as a result of growing popular dissatisfaction, with more protests in the street today on this anniversary. However, most mainstream news reports suggest that the government-sponsored demonstrations in support of the Islamic Revolution 31 years ago vastly outnumbered those of the demonstrators, who are once again being treated very harshly by the Iranian police. Some reports suggesting that even live ammunition being fired at those protesters, but they're still showing up in large numbers. In his address to the throngs of pro-government supporters today, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad announced pretty much what we already knew. His so-called punch to the West that he promised last week really amounted to nothing, saying that Iran is in fact a nuclear state, which we already knew. He also admitted that Iran is now enriching uranium up to 20%, and hopefully at some point up to 80%, something we also already knew. In his public statement, President Ahmadinejad also said flat out that at 80% that uranium could be weaponized a nuclear weapon. But Ahmadinejad was quick to say that that is not the intention of the Iranian government, and if they did plan to make nuclear weapons, they would have no problem telling the world that was the case. Back here at home, still outrage at Iran's intent to pursue nuclear weapons, as the rest of the world understands it, as well as their ongoing brutality towards their own people, upset with the current repressive government. Therefore, a bipartisan effort is underway, particularly in the Senate, to give President Obama more power to strike Iran financially if they don't turn around in their treatment of their own citizens. Connecticut Independent Senator Joe Lieberman is teaming with Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona and others to give the president that power. Speaking on MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell, Senator Lieberman explained why he thinks this legislation is necessary.
I think the significant message we hope we're sending Senator McCain and I and a broad group of bipartisan co-sponsors is that while we've been understandably focused on the nuclear weapons program in Iran, and we will continue to be with sanctions, it's time to start targeting the Iranian human rights abusers of their own people.
And Lieberman went on to say what his legislation would actually give President Obama and subsequent presidents the power to do.
This legislation would authorize the president to deny visas and freeze economic assets of people in Iran who are responsible for the kind of brutality that we're seeing on these videos and that I'm getting in text messaging from Iran. And of course, to make it really effective, we hope that our allies in the European Union will follow suit. We don't need China's support to do this.
But perhaps the greatest asset that the demonstrators in Iran could get from the U.S. is a clear and very public statement of support, something the Obama administration has been reluctant to do to this point for fear that it would give the Iranian government a convenient excuse to crack down on the protesters even more. But Larry Haas, who served Vice President Al Gore as a communications director, as well as a spokesman for the Clinton White House Budget Office, says we can't take that risk because the Iranians will always blame us for something. Haas says the most important thing America can do is make it unambiguous to the Iranians, the Iranian people, as well as the rest of the world, that we stand with those who are fighting for democracy in their own country. To hear my complete interview with Larry Haas, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Moving just a little bit to the west, to Iraq now, and some curious comments from Vice President Joe Biden. Appearing this week on Larry King Live on CNN, the vice president says the fact that Iraq has become much more stable, much more secure, and the thousands of U.S. troops are going to be coming home starting later this year shows that Iraq is one of the great successes of the Obama administration.
I am very optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government.
But critics of Biden say you can't take the credit when you oppose the policy that made the current level of security there possible. Just a couple of years ago, of course, President Bush found very little support, especially among Democrats, in calling for a 21,000 troop surge, as well as a new counterinsurgency strategy. In fact, back then, in 2007, Then-Illinois Senator Barack Obama was on cable television excoriating the president for going down this line.
I am not persuaded that 20,000 additional troops in Iraq is going to solve the sectarian violence there. In fact, I think it will do the reverse. I think it takes pressure off the Iraqis to arrive at the sort of political accommodation that every observer believes is the ultimate solution to the problems we face there.
Biden also raised a few eyebrows by suggesting he does not believe that another terrorist attack the size and scope of 9/11 will ever again happen on American soil. Well, it hasn't been the threat of terrorism that has ground Washington, D.C. to a halt this week. It's been a pair of significant snowstorms. Last weekend, the National Capital Region endured a 2-foot snowfall, and another foot came in Tuesday and mostly on Wednesday. The federal government has been shut down all week long, as has every school district in the region. The U.S. House of Representatives has been closed all week, with House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer literally snowed into his own home in Maryland. He says that there will be extra work down the road this year to help catch up to the schedule, although he says there's no plan to bring back members of Congress before the scheduled return from the President's Day recess, which is around February 22nd and 23rd. And while some members of Congress haven't been able to get back to Washington, some have decided they don't want to come back to Washington at all following the midterm elections. Two Republicans and one Democrat announcing in the past couple of days that they will not be seeking re-election. Michigan Congressman Vern Ehlers, first elected in 1992, a nuclear physicist by trade, says he will be hanging it up after this term. The seat is expected to be pretty safe in Republican hands. Also retiring, Lincoln Diaz-Balart, after 9 terms down in the Miami, Florida region. The lone Democrat to call it quits, California's Diane Watson, who represents a district in Los Angeles that is expected to remain safely Democratic. But while the House of Representatives sits out this week, the U.S. Senate is pushing forward on the president's jobs agenda. The top Republican and top Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee have agreed on the terms of what they hope will be an effective way of stimulating job creation in this country. Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley have introduced what they say is a $35 billion plan over 10 years. However, the total price tag is really $85 billion. They claim they can offset $50 billion of that by closing certain tax loopholes and cutting spending. As far as the major provisions of this package, they would extend federal unemployment benefits through May 22nd. As of right now, they would expire at the end of this current month. They would also enact a payroll tax holiday for any new workers hired this year. They say that could cost about $13 billion. They will also deal with the Medicare reimbursement issue for doctors. That's been a hot-button topic in the debate over health care and just how transparent the Democrats have been with the accounting on that issue. That's about a $10 billion price tag over 10 years. Price for extending unemployment benefits through the end of May should be about $22 billion. Finally, elsewhere on the interview front today, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. You can catch my interview with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. We will ask him about Joe Biden's claim that stability and success in Iraq is an achievement for the Obama administration. You'll be interested to hear his response to that claim. You'll also hear my interview with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, who takes us point by point through the climatology, the science as to why we're getting so much snow in the Mid-Atlantic region and why it's proof in his mind that the Earth is in fact cooling and that the explanations we're hearing from the pro-global warming side that this is evidence that the Earth is warming is simply not true. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.